This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is brought to you by ISC 12, the premier conference for driving innovation, information, and discussion about high-performance computing, networking, storage, and more. Join the global HPC community June 17th through the 21st in Hamburg, Germany. www.isc12.org.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
SGI Xyratex refresh HPC offerings.
Check my German here. Ich bin ein Hamburger.
Good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for June 15, 2012. Available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison. How are you doing?
Good morning, Michael. I think you and I are both flat out getting ready for ISC this week. I can't wait.
I can't wait either. I'm about to fly out. I've got a plane in just a few hours. So we're doing this podcast on the eve of ISC.
Things start it's up, about to get going. And the vendors are getting ready too. A lot of people are already there or on their way. And the news stories are starting to roll out too.
Yeah, we had a couple of big announcements this week, stuff that was announced that will actually be displayed at ISC, but they got their announcements out on products early, which was a good idea to get the ball rolling.
Always good from a PR perspective, help you out, Michael, so they don't all hit your desk on the same day while you're already in the air.
Yes, much appreciated. Actually, the first announcement about the SGI UV2, the second generation UV platform, actually it will be announced at ISC, but they let us talk about the story this week, and that was an interesting story. That's their second generation, what used to be called the ultraviolet supercomputer. Now they just call it UV. The first version came out in 2009. They did some minor upgrades with some new CPUs a couple of years later, but this one is sort of brand new. They've redone sort of the architecture, not just the CPU, but they upgraded NumaLink. They've done a few other things.
Right. These are their big shared memory supercomputers. They were the hallmark of SGI for a long time, and that I'm really glad they've stuck with. These very large shared memory spaces, terabytes of memory, all in one flat address space, and using the NumaLink interconnect.
Exactly, and they're,
this is now NumaLink 6. Is that right?
Right, the sixth generation NumaLink 6. It's two and a half times faster. Of course, it's always faster and better. 2.5 times faster than NumaLink 5, and puts together basically refreshed hardware. So now the memory reach is a lot bigger. The maximum capacity on these things is now 64 terabytes for a single system. So basically, you can, it's equivalent to having a PC with 64 terabytes of memory with just one application, one operating system, whatever you want to do, and they doubled the number of cores that you can use to 4,096. Now I don't think anybody's gonna really reach that core count, but that's 64 terabytes. There might be somebody out there wishing they had that much memory for one of their applications.
That's right. For a lot of these applications that really don't decompose well into an MPI style of application, be able to load that much data into memory in a low latency interconnect, because the whole thing with NumaLink is that it maintains a low enough latency that you can reach distributed shared memory fast enough to keep it cache coherent. So take that whole database up to terabytes, load it in memory, and then read it from a flat memory space. There are a lot of applications in HPC that can benefit from that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, these codes, they never made it to MPI or
Or they're in MPI, but they still run faster if you can load the database into memory.
Right, exactly. I mean, this system supports MPI, but right, it runs faster. Everything's on a much faster communication link. I mean, basically, NumaLink 6 is an interconnect that's connecting, a cluster, and then at the software level, it just looks like one big machine, so that you don't have to bother with cluster management and all this other stuff. But yeah, you can run shared memory applications as well as MPI applications, and they just flat out run faster on this thing.
Yeah, and furthermore, it's nice to see SGI continuing some of its positive momentum here. We just released our newest site census, and SGI showed really good growth in the site census. They've got almost twice as many installations named in our they were installed in 2011 or later, compared to 2 years previously, and so really coming along on the end user side as well. Particularly strong in the government sector, also in academia. Still not as strong as some of their larger competitors in the on the commercial side, but nevertheless, SGI showing some really strong growth.
Yeah, and I think this UV has been a popular system. It's not like they've sold thousands of these, but they've got them in a lot of key verticals and key national labs. So they've had good success with this, and I think they're looking forward to even more. I think there's some in the pipeline for some of these systems already, and it'll be interesting to see some of these big memory applications doing interesting work. That's a unique architecture, and I think we'll probably be reporting on some of these things in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then we had Xyratex also coming out with a refresh of its cluster store line, going to the Cluster Store 6000.
Right. They used to, up until this week, they had the Cluster Store 3000, which was their first generation storage platform. It was from actually technology they bought from Cluster Store, the company, a few years ago. And now they started that out. Now they've refreshed the original Cluster Store into this 6000 series, as you mentioned, which is basically twice as fast as the original.
Right, that's the doubling there. Is they're looking at an upgrade to the I/O performance, the throughput performance of the Cluster Store line.
Exactly, and then they added FDR InfiniBand compatibility and 40 gig Ethernet as well. So it's just a faster, more capable machine. They've got the 3 gigabyte drives in there, and they're looking to put in the 4 gigabyte drives. So they're working up the capacity as well.
Right.
They're still going to sell the 3000 series at least for a while. They've got, you know, they're a little less expensive, and you can, you know, if you want to have your capacity performance ratio a little different, those are still valuable systems to use. But now they've got the more performant 6000 to choose from as well.
And that's pretty typical in the storage world to have these overlapping or rolling launches where the previous one is still available for a while. You don't totally ashcan one on the way to the other. There are two things about this launch that are interesting to me. One is, this is still primarily a company that works through OEMs. The yep. Xyratex brand does not sell directly to end users that much. They're a bigger company than people realize they are.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, right now their OEM for this product is Cray. So Cray's been doing it. They've got a big installation at Blue Waters, and I think a few others. But
I think they're selling through a lot more people than just Cray. But their brand winds up behind the scenes. So by the time it reaches the end user doesn't identify it as a Xyratex product. And in fact, it's since the acquisition of Cluster Store that they've really begun promoting the Xyratex brand to end users at all. They've been around as a large storage company for a long time. It's just they were entirely behind the scenes.
Exactly, yeah. And I think they even talked about they're going to get some more OEMs for this Cluster Store product as well, selling into more accounts. But right. Yeah, they've done fairly well, and I think this newer, faster system will get some good uptake as well. It's one of the high end systems out there, and a lot of the labs, especially for these faster petaflop machines, need that sort of performance from the storage.
Right. The other interesting aspect of this to me is looking at what they're starting to do with the Lustre file system management. There's a lot in this announcement about making Lustre easier to install for the end users, obviously making a play for trying to make Lustre more adoptable in the commercial sector.
Right. Yeah. The Lustre in general, I mean, we've seen WAMCloud do this as well. They're trying to make the file system a little more digestible to commercial users and broaden its base that way. And yeah, Xyratex is certainly doing that as well in this release and in the product line in general. So yeah, we're going to see a lot more cluster management friendliness for the Lustre file system.
Yeah, the file system management is a big deal for Lustre moving forward. And what really I want to watch here is whether this puts them into more direct competition with WAMCloud. You've got some of the old Lustre guys are at WAMCloud, and some of the old Lustre guys are at Xyratex. And you know how much they're lining up as allies versus enemies this is intriguing to me. But you've got Wham Cloud with Chroma coming out, and you know, that might get them to where they're really competing with Xyratex on the Lustre management side.
Yeah, it could be. Now, of course, Wham Cloud is software only. They don't have a platform. They partner
software with, and services, right?
They partner with the vendors, the hardware vendors as well. But you know, unless they get bought by one of those, it's sort of not a symmetric competition. But you're right, at the management level, there's going to be choices to be made there. And Xyratex has an interesting line, and they've integrated it all, so you can buy everything kind of shrink wrapped.
It's going to be exciting. I can't wait to get there. You and I both have travel in our immediate futures. Why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about an ISC preview and what we're looking forward to seeing in Hamburg.
ISC 12 unites the global HPC community for information sharing, discussion, and collaboration for advancing scientific discovery and high-performance applications. Join over 2,400 attendees from academia, research, and industry to take advantage of a wide range of hot topics and in-depth sessions throughout the 5-day technical program led by HPC's leading experts. You won't want to miss 4 compelling keynotes exploring the top 500 or learning about key topics facing the industry today. Exascale, energy efficiency, cloud, or big data. Join networking sessions with like-minded researchers, scientists, and vendors to exchange information, shape collaborations, and build new strategic partnerships. ISC 12 also features over 170 leading solutions providers and research organizations showcasing the newest technologies and research. Visit www.isc12.org for the full agenda.
So yeah, we're both getting ready to wing our way to ISC. It looks like a really interesting conference this year. I mean, it's bigger than it ever was before. I mean, I think we've both noticed how much activity is now going on around this. It used to be sort of a regional European show, and you know, this has been a gradual process. But year after year, there's more and more attendees. There's more vendors. I think there's 175 exhibitors this year, which is a tremendous amount for that show.
Well, the ISC organizers have done a wonderful job, and one of my favorite things about it is the international presence that you get here, not just from the European community. I think the Asia community is also extremely well represented at ISC.
It is. I mean, that was one of the things I was going to mention here. I mean, there's like an HPC in China workshop session that's going to go on for like half a day, which I'm going to try and get to, at least for part of that.
They had that last year as well.
And they had that last year. It's very interesting. I mean, China, obviously, there's a lot of interest in what's going on there. But and then there's a lot of other representation there. That I think there's an HPC in Asia session as well during the in the Congress as well. So you're right. This is more of an international show than we see at SC, although that's an international venue as well in that sense. But it definitely is up and coming. There's lots going on this year, and more and more. It's not as intimate as it was, you know, when it started, but it's definitely a more compelling thing to cover from my point of view, and there's just more news and stories.
Well, yeah, what are some of the sessions that you're looking forward to, or some of the activities that you're looking forward to at this coming week?
So, I mean, obviously, the top 500,
that's always a good one.
It's always a good one. I know there's going to be interesting things going on there already. Then there's sort of the usual suspects of sessions that I'm going to try and get to. There's one on energy efficiency, heterogeneous computing. Of course, there's going to be multiple exascale sessions, but some of those do look interesting. There's some big names in some of those panels and sessions. And I mentioned the HPC in China workshop, which has a good number of sessions in that as well. There's also a programming model session, which is going to become very important as we see
programming models. I think is a huge topic as we go forward to exascale. You know, we're going to stay on MPI. Is MPI plus viable? You know, how do we incorporate all the GPU models? A lot of questions around that.
A lot, and especially with heterogeneous computing coming on, the programming models are, you know, they're just in flux. I mean, the whole thing's volatile, and right, and what's going to happen to MPI? You know, and it's just, there's a lot of competition as far as in the mindshare of developers, what's the best way to go forward here. And then the last thing, there's multiple sessions that have to do with big data. And this is sort of a coming out year for big data at ISC. I mean, I think if we looked at last
year's agenda, there should be. Yeah, there should be.
I mean, we saw it at SC last November. There was a lot more activity, but it's basically taken over as sort of the hot topic. It's become the cloud of 2012, I think, as far as technology topic.
Well, yeah, here's where I'll really disagree with you, though. I think this is way bigger deal than cloud ever was, because while cloud has so many limiting factors around its deployment for HPC, really we see big data as an area of applications that has direct application for HPC technologies. We've completed our study on big data opportunity for HPC technology vendors that we've been delivering to clients, started delivering to clients the results with the insights, not only around the application overview, but in compute, in storage, in interconnect, in cloud. What are all the applicable areas for market expansion? Big data is a big deal, very justified to have that kind of focus.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Yeah, there is really no symmetry between big data and cloud. I mean, they're different things. It's apples to oranges there in any case. But you're right. I mean, big data has already gotten uptake commercially and in, I mean, not just business, but in HPC. There's a lot of activity, a lot of vendor activity and user activity going on in this space. We're going to see some of it at the event next week as well.
Another thing with ISC is I think they've done a really active job trying to keep refreshing what kind of sessions they've got, what kind of panels they've got, to keep it a lot of interesting things on the agenda to look forward to. They're doing the student cluster competition this time that they're making a pretty big deal out of. I'm looking forward to dropping in on that and seeing how that's going. The hot seat session has been revamped in format with shorter presentations, faster questions. I'm one of the inquisitors for the hot seat session in part one, so I'll be firing questions at Supermicro, Intel, Cray, NetApp, Mellanox, Dell, Xyratex, IBM. Then there's another group of companies going into the part two session later that day, but I've sent off the questions to the panelists. I'm really looking forward to that. They're going to be fun questions too, entertaining.
Yeah, those hot seat sessions are a lot of fun. Even outside of the hot seat, there's a bunch of exhibitor forums that look interesting in their own right. I mean, they're not getting challenged there by a bunch of inquisitors, but there's so many new technologies that are coming up from Intel, NVIDIA, and Cray, and all these companies that I think even those are going to be worth stopping in on.
Yep. There's a lot of good panel discussions. Of course, we closed the conference with our Crossfire panel that we'll be teeing up again. Speaking of clocks running and sharp questions, I'm very excited to have got my panelists locked in. I've got Donna Crawford from Livermore. I've got Happy Sitole from the Center for High Performance Computing in South Africa, Dave Turek from IBM, and Elena Churikova from T Platforms. They've got their questions. They're working on their answers. So that's going to be exciting. And then we've got our own launch reception on Monday evening to celebrate the debut of the HPC 500 group, which we talked about on a previous podcast.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like you're going to be busy. Those Crossfire panels are always fun to watch. I hope to get that one. That kind of wraps up the show for everybody. So it's fun to sort of kick back and relax. And I mean, you'll be busy there, but it's a good ending to that the whole event.
Well, and then you and I have something else in common, which is we get to do our own podcast live from ISC. So I know we're going to have a lot more to talk about. Our podcast schedule changes a little bit. We'll have general ISC podcasts at the end of the day in Germany on Tuesday, and then again on Thursday afternoon. And those will be to wrap up the show in lieu of our normal Friday podcast next week. But then before that, on Sunday, one of the first things we're going to do there is we've got a special podcast looking at the history of the top 500.
Right. It's the 20th anniversary of the top 500. So we actually gather together the sort of the originators. We have Jack Dongaro, Horst Simon, Eric Strohmeyer, and Hans Moyer. And we're going to talk to them. It'll probably be an extended podcast session for that. But we're sort of go through the history of it a little bit. And, sort of what the whole thing was about and talk to these guys for a while.
I can't wait. That's going to be fun. And by then, we might be getting an idea of whether the K computer is still number one. I think that's a big question on people's minds.
It is a big question. That'll be exciting to figure out. I know there's going to be some exciting news around that. There's going to be lots of changes to the list. And we'll be reporting on that as of Monday.
All right. Well, let's go to Hamburg, Michael. I'll see you there.
All right. See you there.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by ISC12, the 27th International Supercomputing Conference. Come and join 2,400 members of the HPC community from June 17th through the 21st in Hamburg, Germany. Visit www.isc12.org.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.